It is said that on that day, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai looked at Rabbi Eliezer and said, "Open our session with an interpretation." He replied, "I cannot open." Rabbi Yochanan and the other students pressured him until he stood up and opened with an interpretation that no ear had ever heard before. At every word that came out of his mouth, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would stand up and kiss him on the head and say to him, "Eliezer, my rabbi, you have taught me truth." Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 83, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his students in Jerusalem. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. University of Pennsylvania's Martin Seligman, in a famous story, describes how he hit upon an insight that created the movement positive psychology. He writes, quote, "I was in my garden with my five-year-old daughter, Nikki, and to make another confession, even though I've written a book about children and have worked with children, I'm no good with them since I'm time-urgent and task-oriented. I was weeding, and Nikki was throwing weeds into the air, dancing, singing, and having a wonderful time. And I shouted at her. She walked away puzzled and walked back and said, 'Daddy, I want to talk to you.' I said, 'Yeah, Nikki?' And she said, 'Daddy, do you remember before my fifth birthday, she had turned five about 2 weeks before, I was a whiner, that I whined every day?' I said, 'Yeah, I remember, you were a horror. Have you noticed since my fifth birthday, Daddy, I haven't whined once?' 'Yeah, Nikki.' And she said, 'Daddy, on my fifth birthday, I decided I wasn't going to whine anymore. And that was the hardest thing I've ever done. And if I can stop whining, you can stop being such a grouch.'" End quote. At this, Seligman confesses, he realized that, quote, "Nikki was right about me, that I had spent more than 50 years being a nimbus cloud." So he adds, "I resolved to change." He then adds that he realized, quote, "that my theories of child rearing were wrong. The theories of child rearing that the last two generations have been raised with in psychology are remedial. They basically say the job of the parent is to correct the kid's errors, but somehow out of the correction of errors, an exemplary child rises." But he adds, "when you lie in bed at night, you're not thinking about how to go from -5 to -2. You're generally thinking about how to go from +2 to +6 in life. It became my mission in life from that moment in the garden to help to create a positive psychology, a psychology focusing not only on doing away with the negative, but also in encouraging individuals to make manifest their positive traits to become the strongest individuals that they can be." End quote. The larger psychological and pedagogical point, ladies and gentlemen, is that people are blessed with unique gifts, and education must seek to cultivate those gifts. And this, in turn, was the insight of one of the most important rabbis in Jewish history. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is known today in rabbinic tradition for devising the response to the destruction of the temple. But we must first meet him before Jerusalem falls, for it is only then that we can get a glimpse of what once was, as we meet the man who forever impacted the practice of Judaism, binding the Jews to Jerusalem at the moment that it was lost. Yochanan ben Zakkai studied at the feet of Hillel in Jerusalem. He was one of the youngest of Hillel's students and one of the greatest. We are told about him in Avot, wherein we are informed how ben Zakkai described the strengths of his five greatest students. Hu haya moneh shivchan. Literally, he would count their praises. And then, Avot continues. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, a plastered well that never loses a drop. Joshua ben Chananya, happy the one who gave him birth. Yose the priest, a pious man. Shimon ben Netanel, a man who fears sin. Elazar ben Arach, an ever-flowing spring. As I noted in my Tikva lectures on Avot, this statement about ben Zakkai stands out because it seems incongruent with the larger genre of that rabbinic text. Throughout Avot, we are provided with maxims, which are in turn windows into the worldviews of the men that uttered those moral and spiritual and theological maxims. And yet in this statement, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gives us is not a maxim at all. It is rather a description of his student's strengths. But rightly understood, what is being given here is a spiritual and moral maxim, because it provides a perspective on Yochanan ben Zakkai's worldview. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, who cites this passage in Avot, puts it this way, quote, "The Mishnah is doing more than telling us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had disciples. Every rabbi had disciples. The imperative raise up many disciples is one of the oldest rabbinic teachings on record. What the Mishnah is telling us is how to create disciples. It is easy to have students who are uncritical devotees, but never become creative intellects in their own right. It is not difficult to create followers. It is far harder to create leaders. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was a great teacher because five of his students became giants in their own right. The Mishnah is telling us how he did it. He showed each of his pupils where their particular strength lay. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, the plastered well that never loses a drop, was gifted with a superb memory, an important gift in an age in which manuscripts were rare and the oral law was not yet committed to writing. Shimon ben Netanel, the man who fears sin, may not have had the intellectual brilliance of the others, but his reverential nature was a reminder to others that they were not mere scholars, but also holy men engaged in a sacred task. Elazar ben Arach, the ever-flowing spring, had a creative mind constantly giving rise to new interpretations of ancient texts, end quote. Thus, as I explained in my Avot lectures, understood this way, much as the maxims throughout Avot exist to provide a window into the life and worldview of the man uttering each maxim, the description of Ben Zakkai exists not only to tell us about these five disciples, but also to teach us about the educational philosophy of Rabban Yochanan, who sought to bring the unique gifts of each of his pupils to the fore. Avot is, in other words, presenting us with the message that Yochanan ben Zakkai was, even before Jerusalem fell, a pedagogical pioneer. And for a glimpse into the Jerusalem of his age, we turn to the description of one of Ben Zakkai's students, one of the men whose gifts were described by Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Eliezer, the man with the photographic memory, the man whose mind was a plastered cistern that never lost a drop. The rabbis describe Eliezer as the son of a wealthy man named Hyrcanus, a man who had no desire for Eliezer to study the Torah, and who ultimately refused to support his son in this endeavor. Eliezer, with no means of support and starving, ate horrifying objects from the ground in order to sate his hunger. Here is one version, picking up the story from this point, using the Sefaria translation of the rabbinic text known as Avot de Rabbi Natan. Quote, he went and spent the night in an inn. Then he continued on until he came before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Jerusalem. Soon Rabbi Yochanan noticed Eliezer's terrible breath. Rabbi Yochanan said, Eliezer, my son, have you eaten anything today? Eliezer said nothing. He sent a message to the inn asking, did Eliezer eat anything when he stayed with you? They replied, we thought perhaps he would be eating with the rabbi. He said, I likewise thought perhaps he had eaten with you. Meanwhile, between our two assumptions, we ended up neglecting Eliezer. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Eliezer, just as you have had this terrible smell coming from your mouth, so will one day you have a great reputation from the Torah coming from you, end quote. The larger literary symbolism of this story, I think, is that within Eliezer there was a voracious hunger, a hunger that could not be sated, a hunger for knowledge. His remarkable mind continued to ingest information from Rabbi Yochanan until he became a truly great man. The rabbis describe how at this point the vindication of Rabbi Yochanan's prescient prediction was made manifest to all. Hyrcanus, we are told, father of Rabbi Eliezer, came to inform his son that he was disowning him. Quote, his father Hyrcanus heard that he had gone to study Torah with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He said to himself, I will go and force Eliezer to swear off any claim to my property. It is said that on that day Rabbi Yochanan was sitting and interpreting Torah in Jerusalem, and all the great minds of Israel were sitting before him. He heard that Hyrcanus had come, and he spoke to the guards and said, if he tries to sit here, do not let him. He did try to sit, and they did not let him. So he went up several rows until he found a place near Ben Tzitit HaKeset, Nakdimon Ben Gurion, and Kalba Savua. He sat down next to them nervously, end quote. We must understand who these individuals are next to whom Hyrcanus is suddenly seated. These three men, Ben Tzitzit HaKeset, Nakdimon Ben Gurion, and Kalba Savua, were wealthy supporters of Torah in Jerusalem, and we also know from the Talmud that they supported Jerusalem during the Roman siege. Thus, with the hindsight of history, these three men are, for us, reminders of what is yet to come. But more simply, they are wealthy men in Jerusalem who have come to honor the sages of the Torah, and Hyrcanus has been forced to sit with them, Hyrcanus who is wealthy like them, but who does not appreciate as they do the Torah that his son has studied. The story continues, quote, it is said that on that day Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai looked at Rabbi Eliezer and said, open our session with an interpretation. He replied, I cannot open. Rabbi Yochanan and the other students pressured him until he stood up and opened with an interpretation that no ear had ever heard before. At every word that came out of his mouth, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would stand up and kiss him on the head and say to him, Eliezer, my rabbi, you have taught me truth. Before the gathering ended, Hyrcanus stood up and said, gentlemen, I came here in order to have my son swear off any claim to my property, but now all of my property will be given to my son Eliezer, and all his brothers will get nothing, end quote. Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, Eliezer did not seek to take his brother's inheritance, and we have to appreciate all that is being conjured before us. Ostensibly, this is a story describing the greatness of a Torah scholar, and it is indeed that. But we can also, looking back, appreciate, understand the powerful and poignant irony Hyrcanus was dividing up his land among his children in the last years of Second Temple Jerusalem. As if the economy of Judea would remain stable, he is blissfully unaware that soon the Roman conquest will devastate the land and change profoundly the state of Jewish stability throughout the area. Everyone in the hall in Jerusalem has gathered to celebrate the study of Torah in a sacred city where there is Roman rule, but where the study of God's law itself still flourishes. It is one moment of spiritual bliss in Jerusalem before that Jerusalem is gone. But at the same time, the tale is communicating to us that right before the destruction, a treasure has been created, a treasure that remained after Jerusalem fell, a treasure that is retained within the head of Eliezer, the head that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kisses, a head that contains the Torah because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has fostered the gift of his student. If you will, the Torah and the memory of Jerusalem was retained within that mind. Rabbi Eliezer himself will have a turbulent time following the temple's fall, but his mind retained the Torah that he was taught when Jerusalem stood, Torah that ultimately was transferred by Rabbi Eliezer to a man named Akiva. Akiva, who ultimately guided the Jews through one of the most difficult moments in Jewish history. In the story of Rabbi Eliezer, his father, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we are given, in other words, a scene of a society that is about to disappear, but whose continuity and salvation is to be found in the mind of a man and in the pedagogical gifts and teachings of Yochanan ben Zakkai. And it is through Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his students that Judaism lived on so that the Jerusalem of that moment was never forgotten. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.